Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kit of Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kit of products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. There are a lot of warnings in the Bible. Warnings concerning how you should be living your life. There are warnings about the type of company you should be keeping. In the Bible, there are warnings about the consequences of sin and disobedience. There are warnings telling you to take heed, to be watchful of the signs and the times. But I want to focus on the warnings in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The warnings in this chapter are incredibly powerful because they focus on the culture of today and on society. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In this warning, you will find that Paul is warning Timothy that people will be corrupt and fall away from God. People that have a form of godliness, but they won't have the power of God working in their lives. When you read 2 Timothy 3 and go through the list of how people in society will be, the Bible tells you that people will be lovers of self, meaning that people will be narcissistic and self-focused. This is obviously against the command to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. People will be lovers of money and impelled by greed. How much of this can we see in this day and age? How much greed is there in this world? Yet the Word of God tells us to be free from the love of money. As you go further and further down the list, you find that people are described as unloving, devoid of natural human affection, boastful, and arrogant. So as Christians, I want you to answer the following questions. As an individual, are you standing firm in a pagan world? Will you let society control how you will act or how you will live your life? Will you follow the crowd and the majority as they love themselves more than they love God? Be careful that you are not found with the characteristics named in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Be careful that unbelieving and unfaithful and uncaring people don't change you. Beware of the false prophets, the false doctrines, and false teachers, because they will try and poison your thinking and dismantle your faith. In these last days, make sure that you are ready for His return, and do not be like the world, but let the world see Christ through you. The behavior of this world does not surprise God. The standards and immorality of this world does not catch God by surprise. And let me tell you this, it should not surprise us as the Church of Christ either. We simply need to make sure that we are focused on Jesus Christ above all else. Focus on God above everything else, and do not be like the rest of the world. Be an example of God's wonderful work.
It's quite easy to see things that are wrong in the world and become fearful. In fact, we live in a world that promotes a spirit of fear. You turn on the news and you'll be told of a new outbreak happening here, or the food shortages happening there, or the violence taking place over there. We live in a culture where bad news receives more coverage than good news. Tragedy, controversy, and disaster is what makes the headlines more often than the good and the charitable. Now, in the church, well, unfortunately, there is a minority in the church of today that is also contributing to the negativity of the world. You see, when Jesus walked the earth, he was seen to love those who were in need of love, the sinners. But in some parts of the church today, there are many who neglect those who need to be shown the love of Christ because, well, they love themselves. Jesus was seen to love those who seemed unlovable, the outcasts of society, the woman at the well with many husbands, those crippled by leprosy, the woman with the issue of blood, the tax collectors. Jesus loved those considered to be the lowest of the low. But in the church today, some leaders choose to only love and associate with people who have a celebrity status or those considered to be the somebodies of this world. You don't have to look far to find something negative to dwell on in or out of the church. And so, as believers in Jesus Christ, how can we fight against these negative things that we're bombarded with? How can we combat negative, depressing, and fearful thoughts? I believe that we have to devote ourselves to doing God's work. We have to meditate on God's word, and we have to consistently remember and remind ourselves of God's goodness. I want you to notice how all three of those elements are God-centered: God's work, God's word, and God's goodness. In all things, keep your eyes on God. This isn't to say ignore what's going on around you, but don't dwell or focus on it. Your focus is extremely important.
There are people out there who battle with many things each and every day. Some people wake up and the enemy they face is called depression. Others wake up and their enemy is worry. Some will find that the minute they open their eyes, that giant adversary called anxiety or disease is looking at them straight in the face. These are hidden battles, but perhaps the underlying force or spirit behind many negative feelings is fear. Fear will cause someone to be anxious all the time. Fear will displace the joy in someone's life and leave them dejected, depressed, and feeling hopeless. Fear will magnify the tragedy and blind you to everything else that is good or everything else that is a blessing from God. You see, fear is more than just a negative thought. It's more than an emotion. Fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." The Amplified translation elaborates and says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." Fear is a spirit. The Bible does not say God did not give us a feeling or an emotion called fear. No, it says He didn't give us a spirit of fear.
A story is told of a man who witnessed a major pileup happening on the highway. As he was driving, he noticed that on one of the exit roads from the highway he was on, there was a queue, and some cars were traveling at such high speeds that they couldn't stop in time. So this man is driving along. He's looking at all those poor people who've slammed into the back of each other, and he's just looking at this pileup happening in real time. Then, all of a sudden, he crashes. The amazing thing is that while all of this carnage was happening, this man had a clear pathway to his destination. The pileup happened on the near side exit lane. He was two lanes away in safety. But because his focus was on the disaster happening and not on navigating his way away from that disaster, he drifted from his lane into the third and into the second lane where he hit the van. And so, your focus, what you focus on, is oh so vital. As Christians, we are not to focus on the sickness in this world. We should not focus on the different strains and diseases out there. No. We should focus on the healer. We should focus on the chief physician, the one who healed anyone and everyone that had a measure of faith. As Christians, we are not to focus on the violence taking place in this world. Don't focus on the tragedies and disasters that are happening all around this world. Focus on the ultimate protector. Ensure that you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In short, what I'm telling you to do is to focus on Jesus. Focus on the Prince of Peace rather than the dread and fear offered to you by this world. Focus on the Deliverer, Jesus Christ, rather than the sin. Because ultimately, focusing on the sin will not set you free. But focusing on Jesus is what will set you free. If you choose to focus on the addiction you have, the stronghold you have, the bondage you're under, what do you think will get bigger? What you focus on, you magnify. What you focus on will get bigger. When Peter was walking on water, do you know what made him sink? He took his eyes, he took his focus away from God. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 to 30 says, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' The Bible says, 'But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid.' When you begin to focus on everything happening all around you, when you begin to look at everything going on around the world, you will be left in fear. But should you focus on Jesus? Should you focus on the Prince of Peace? You will be blessed. You will remain joyful and hopeful even in the midst of trouble. And so, remember these three keys to overcoming negative thoughts and feelings. Devote yourself to doing God's work, meaning keep yourself busy doing something for the Lord. Give yourself something godly to focus on and put energy into. And secondly, I encourage you to meditate on God's word. Find a verse to focus on and dwell on so that your spirit would remain strengthened and uplifted. And finally, always remind yourself of God's goodness. This will lead you to always having a spirit of gratitude and praise. So in all you do, be sure to be doing God's work, be sure to be dwelling on God's word, and certainly be sure to remember God's goodness."
Now, have you ever heard a parent tell their child, "This is the last time I'm going to tell you to stop doing that"? Imagine if God said that. Or how about someone who gets stopped by the police and the officer says, "This is your final warning"? Imagine if God said that. It sends a shiver down my spine to even think about the Lord giving us such a warning. Thankfully, God's ways are not like man's, but that doesn't mean we can take liberties. And although God doesn't just say, this is your final warning, like a human being would. He still gives us warnings in His Word. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him for salvation while He is near." Now, reading between the lines, this is a subtle warning to me, because this tells me that there will come a day, there will come a time where you may seek the Lord and not find Him. So, in a way, we're being warned, do it now. Seek the Lord now. Pray, fast, worship, do all you can now while He may be found. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 bears another warning. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Once again, when you examine this message of Scripture closely, you can begin to connect the dots. If I sow seeds of unforgiveness and walk around being mad at anyone who's ever done anything wrong to me, if I walk around carrying grudges, then what will I reap? It certainly will not be eternal life with a seed of that kind. Or perhaps the seeds I'm sowing are of lust, sexual immorality, or uncleanliness. You cannot mock the Lord by sowing those kinds of seeds and expecting a harvest of blessings and breakthroughs. These are all subtle warnings, saints. We need to take heed to these warnings. We need to read the Word of God with discernment so that we can read and understand exactly what the Bible is saying. Proverbs 15 verse 29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous." This warns me that sin takes you far away from the Lord. And if He hears the prayer of the righteous, that means the one in sin, the one in darkness, the Lord will not be close to that person. And that is a scary thought. So my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would open my eyes each day and every time that I open Scripture. May I be able to discern these subtle warnings, and may they resonate with me. Saints, God is loving, merciful, and just. So we should never think that we can coast through life doing whatever we want, whenever we want, and face no consequences. Take heed of the warnings in the Bible, saints.